Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 23rd day of January, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is armed and ready, and that will be followed up with a open mic session. We do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, welcome to the program. Cumru Embeth. Callers are welcome. We do ask that you keep your comments and your questions as short as possible to allow others to participate. And please note we are in the Q&A or question and answer mode, which means one at a time. We'll have the floor, just as you would in any standard type meeting under Robert's Rules of Order. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and I would like to draw your attention to the fact we've added a new page to the website. It's called Lock and Load, and that's where I'm going to post from my own personal experience in firearms, growing up on a farm and being in the military. I've been around firearms my whole life, both in the area of sport and for hunting purposes, and also for home defense. So I've gained quite a bit just from personal experience and the fact that I taught myself how to reload ammunition, pistol, rifle, and shotgun, and have been studying armory-type information for a very long time, and I've got very good friends of mine who are federal firearms licensed dealers. And so I'm able to put together quite a bit for practical purposes for the House of Jacob Israel. And the reason for the website is to bring you suggestions and tips, for especially for folks that aren't real familiar with weapons, the kind that you should be looking for, what kind of things you want to find in them. Also, I'm putting links there to some of the better websites for purchasing. Now, what I did not put up there yet is my personal recommendation that if you can buy from a private individual, that is by far the best, as long as it's somebody you can trust as far as the quality of the weapon, because there is no paper trail, all right? So that is best, or at least have some that don't have a paper trail in your possession. The websites I put there offer very good deals, and one of the criteria for everything I put on this website is that you get very good quality, form, fit, and function, but at a bargain basement price, because most of our people are hurting financially since the Jews have pretty much bled us dry. So I tried to keep it as a recommendation, only those things that are very affordable for the average person. There's obviously things out there you can spend lots and lots of money on, but I look for what will get you through, okay, in the near term. Got a lot of verses I want to read tonight as we go into this armed and ready scenario to talk about Jacob Israel, that's us, his people, his sons and daughters, for the latter days. And, you know, what are we to do at this point in time, especially in the midst of all of this confusion, inundation with information, both good and bad? We are much like Pavlov's dog. You know, we've talked about the famous Pavlovian experiment with the dogs many times, and the fact that there was more to that experiment than you're usually told. You're usually told about the blowing of the whistle, I think it is, and the light being turned on being both a good and then a bad stimulus. But you were never told in school, at least I wasn't, what happens when both stimuli hit the dog. Both the good stimuli when he was fed and the stimuli for when he was beaten. Well, the part they didn't tell you about is because that's what's being done to you and me. We're being treated just like Pavlov's dog. We're being inundated with good stimuli as well as very negative stimuli, because that's the Pavlovian response they want. So just like Pavlov's dog, that you and I will be frozen in stark terror. That's what the dogs did. He came in the room, turned the light on, but he blew the whistle. All right? And that the dog just didn't know what to do. It just stood there. Didn't move. Didn't move to get its food or try to protect itself from the beating. It just froze. It wasn't sure what to do. And that's the average person today. You're being treated as one of Pavlov's dogs. You're being inundated with both positive and negative information. And that's what they're hoping, is that we will be grounded. We will be frozen in our tracks, not to interfere with the New World Order, not to protect ourselves. The only problem with that is, for the deep state and the New World Order, is the fact that they're not taking into account that Yahweh's children have Yahweh. That's why it says in Scripture that, you know, the great delusion that falls on everybody and the deception, except for his elect. It would be so strong that even his elect would be taken in by all this if it were possible. Whereas the only one reason it's not possible is because you and I are connected physically, literally, in real time, connected to our Father Creator. It's not a fuzzy feeling. It's not a mind construct. It's a reality that you walk in His presence, and He walks with you and me. Doesn't mean that we're perfect. Don't ever make that mistake. No, we're not perfect. Praise Yahweh. If it required being perfect, none of us would make it. But He promised to walk with us and to guide us. And some of the scriptures we're going to talk about tonight go into all that. So when I say armed and ready, it's not necessarily always a .223 rifle or a .308 rifle and a .45 automatic pistol that I'm talking about. Armed and ready with what? Truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Okay? Your relationship with the Father, the blessing of the Counselor called the Holy Spirit as a comforter and a counselor, having discernment to see through the lies and deception, those arm you as well. So we should be prepared for both scenarios. We should be well-equipped in both of those categories. James chapter 1. Now, it's called James, but in the actual Greek language, it should have been called Jacob. It's Jacob. Jacob is not James. So obviously a mistranslation. But James 1, verse 5, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of Yahweh God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Okay, so let him ask of Yahweh, and it will be given to him. So right there is a critical verse out of the New Testament for his sons and daughters to be armed and ready. If you lack wisdom, now the beginning of wisdom, of course, is the acknowledgement of Yahweh being our Creator God. The second part of that is to ask him for further wisdom. His wisdom, not ours, not man, not based on man's law, but on his law. Wisdom to know his ways, not our ways. His ways bring what? Peace, prosperity, joy, health, happiness. Man's ways bring chaos, deceit, deception, rape, murder, mayhem. That's man's way. And it's amazing to me that people still want to hang on to man's law and worship government, which is made up of men and women who are fallible. It's a false god. You've created a false god, no different than the Israelites in the desert when they took the gold and made a calf. It's no different. When you worship government as a god, you're committing idolatry. And that's what most of our people are doing today. They are committing idolatry. They are worshiping a man-made creation called government as if it's God Almighty. Can't have it that way, folks. Sorry. Then in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, we talked about this many times. Now again, be armed and ready. Armed, just like Sun Tzu in The Art of War says, you have to know your enemy as well as yourself. Well, how do we identify our enemy? Well, Luke had some suggestions here for us. He says, meanwhile, when a multitude of many thousands had gathered together, so much so that they trampled on one another, he, being Yeshua, began to tell his disciples first of all. He told his disciples first of all, and then he told everybody else. But first he told the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, we talked about the dictionary definition of the word leaven. Now, in this translation, they put yeast. Well, that's kind of a misnomer and misleading, because yeast is only one of the definitions. If you go to an exhaustive dictionary, like I did when I was doing this word study many years ago, you find out that, holy cow, it's not just yeast. Leaven is the term for anything that causes a small, almost imperceptible change in a thing or a process. What have they done to tear apart the Christian constitutional republic known as the United States, sovereign states of America? What have they used? Gradualism, which is just another way of saying leavening. And what did he tell us to do? Beware of the gradual, small, almost imperceptible changes of the Pharisees then, Jews today, which is hypocrisy. Now, when you look at Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Chuck E. Schumer, Adam Schiff, all of them kikes, by the way. Every single one of them is a kikel. That's where that name comes from, kikel, which is Yiddish for circle. Because when they came to America, they hated Christ and all things Christian so much that they did not want to put an X at Ellis Island when they came over here. They did not want to put an X because it looked too much like a cross. That's how much they hate Christ and Christians. So they put a circle on the documents. And I'm sure the people that worked down at the docks and everything would hear them speaking Yiddish, and they would hear the word kikel as they talked to each other, and so the dock workers shortened it to kike. So they'll tell you today, whoa, Dan, that's a term of derision, just like the word nigger. Well, excuse me, but nigger or niger, whichever way you want to pronounce it, is Latin for black. It's not necessarily a term of derision. Even black people call themselves by the same name. It's just a descriptive noun talking about the fact that their color is black. Niger. No different than Arab. Arab was our language for a dark race. We still call them Arabs today. I don't see anybody getting upset over it. But the media causes us to do that. Okay? Well, the same thing with the word kike, which is referring to kikel or circle, okay? So they want us to get, they want to weaponize language. They want to weaponize words to race bait us into hating one another and getting other people to call those who are trying to tell the truth and identify what these people are doing, to get us off on a side tangent, going the wrong direction over things such as words. Ridiculous. It's kind of funny. Now, when I went to school, all of us white kids, we were taught a saying when I was very young, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. We were taught to toughen up, put our big boy pants on or big girl pants on, and names are just names. You don't get all bent out of shape about it. It's just a name. You don't stop telling the truth because somebody calls you a name. You don't hide in your house and not take on evil because they threaten to call you a name. Look at it as a badge of honor when your enemy is calling you names. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 23, a prudent man keeps his knowledge or truth, but the hearts of fools proclaim foolishness. That sounds like Washington, D.C., doesn't it? And actually, it sounds like a lot of state capitals nowadays. Fools proclaiming foolishness, but a prudent man keeps. Now, this word keeps, if you study the etymology of the word, it's talking about protect, as in the Old English, a fortified area was called a keep. Okay, so we got the word keep meaning to protect or hang on to or to safeguard, which is, so a man keeps or safeguards or protects his truth and knowledge as a value, just like treasure, just like precious metals and precious stones, okay? Knowledge or truth is a precious commodity. And again, how do you arm yourself? First of all, you arm yourself with wisdom, just like Sun Tzu in The Art of War says. All right, knowledge, you win the battle. Before you engage the enemy on the battlefield, you have already won the battle. You don't go onto the battlefield until you've made the proper preparations that the battle has already been won. You're just going on the battlefield in a mop-up operation. And even in Sun Tzu's Art of War, it says the best of soldiers wins the battle without shooting one arrow. Because back in the days of Sun Tzu, that was your long-distance weapon, was a bow and arrow. So before you even release an arrow, you've won the day. You've won the battle. Why? It's an ideological war, which is what we're in against our enemy right now. Even though the enemy, the satanic forces that are out there, have certainly thrown some arrows and taken down innocent lives in this war. We have yet to turn the tide. We're fighting a battle of ideology and words at the moment, but I have a feeling it's going to escalate. We shall see. We shall see. So anyway, Proverbs 12 here again, a prudent man hangs on to, protects, guards, and cherishes his truth and knowledge. And that's backed up in Proverbs 14 at verse 15, a simple man believes everything. We used to call somebody like that a simpleton when I was a boy. A simpleton, meaning you haven't got very much discernment. You believe everything. So Proverbs is telling us a simple man believes everything, but the prudent or wise man carefully considers his ways. What's Proverbs trying to tell us there? Same thing Thessalonians is telling us in the New Testament. You take in all things, but keep or protect and maintain that which is good. Meaning, show discernment. Show ability to weed out lies and deceptions and dishonesty and keep the nuggets of truth that you have because they're more valuable than gold and silver. Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man, meaning wise, circumspect, a prudent man sees danger and hides himself, but the simple pass on and suffer for it. Ted, welcome to the program, buddy. We have Ted with a stranger in his own land with us tonight. Also, Ted Midward has a YouTube channel, which I highly recommend. In fact, he's just put up, I believe, one or two new ones recently. So he does great work. Ted's been on the program for interviews and stuff in the past. If you want to look him up, go to the master list on our website, and you can do a word search on that document and find the programs where Ted was either a guest or a caller. So, Ted, no problem, buddy. You deserve it. You do a lot of work. You do a lot of hard work. We have excellent people. You know, a lot of people say, well, you got small numbers. And I always remind our folks that, well, Christ was one man. I don't remember Christ ever at the head of an army. I don't remember Christ opening up a Federal Reserve Bank anywhere. So, he wasn't handing out shekels like the Jews do to get people to listen to him and do the things he wants. He presented them with the truth. And then he had 12 men, once he got rid of the Jew, Judas, the traitor, who tried to, who sold him out. Once he was out of the way, then there were 12 new Benjaminites, and they carried the truth on from that point on. But it started out with just Christ and 11 true disciples with one traitor. So a dozen men changed the entire world. So I like to think that our listeners and the people that this message go out to are of that caliber. I really do. They are the stalwarts and true disciples of truth out there in a sea of lies and deceptions, backbiters, gossipers. It's just the fakes and the frauds, even amongst identity, is just unbelievable. But the truth prevails. In case you haven't noticed, that's why I do not refer to this message as Christian identity, because I've known quite a few fakes and frauds, even at the national level, within what is termed Christian identity. So I don't even like to use the term. And I don't want our truth message to be confused with what's taught in these whitewashed sepulchers called churches, because it's not even in the same ballpark. Proverbs 27:12, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple pass on and suffer for it. So there's a double witness, both Proverbs 22 and 27. John 14:12, verse 12, most certainly I tell you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and he will do greater works than these, because I leave and go to my Father. And you know, it's funny, a lot of people say, well, you know, I wonder about that. Are we doing greater works today than Yahshua? Are we reaching more people? Are we doing deeper dives down rabbit holes to uncover criminality and collusion and conspiracy to do harm to mankind? I would answer that yes, we are. Now, that's not to say that we're better than Yahshua. Obviously, we're not. But he said, you will do greater works, bigger works, because he was one of 12, obviously working in a very confined area, and he only walked this earth for a mere 33 years. Okay, that's not much time. His ministry was only a few years that we know of, the ministry in Palestine. So he accomplished tremendous things during that short period of time, obviously. Most of us have been walking this earth far longer, and because of Yahweh, there have been doors open that we can do actually greater things. We can reach more people. And we have a greater opportunity to not only present the blood of Yahshua and what that represents to the white race, and the fact that we are Yahweh's sons, the sons of Adam in the scripture, Adam, of course, meaning to show blood in the face or blush. Only the white race blushes, by the way. And we're talking pure races here, not mongrels, all right? Mongrels are an aberration of nature, and they are an abomination to the Father. It's as simple as that. I have no animosity. I know there's a lot of race-mixed people today because nobody gives a damn about what the Father says anymore. And so we have a large percentage of mixed multitudes out there. I see them every single day. I have no animosity to you. Okay? But that doesn't change the truth. You know, our job as the sons and daughters of the Father is to tell the truth, whether they like hearing it or not. The truth of it is, your parents did something they were not supposed to do. It's an abomination. In the Old Testament, it was called a plague. If you read the story of Gideon and what happened during that period in the book of Numbers, you will find out that it's called a plague for a reason. If you read the works of Charles Weissman, especially his book Anthology of Racial Issues, you will find that it says in there very clearly the detrimental outcomes of mixing your genes. That's why in the Septuagint, in the Greek language, the sixth commandment, in the Septuagint, it's the sixth commandment. We're not talking King James now. The sixth law of God, as Pastor Harrell called it in his little book on it, is simply the Greek words "ouk mukesus." That's it. That's all they had to say. "Ouk" meaning negative, don't. "Ouk mukesus." That's it. Don't mongrelize. What's that cover? Well, you don't mongrelize your vegetables, your plants. You don't mongrelize your trees. You don't mongrelize your animals. You don't mongrelize your fish. You sure as hell don't mongrelize your children. So this whole idea that you can create hybrids is lunacy. "Well, Dan, we're trying to make a better tomato, you know, because we ship them all over the place and, you know, some of them get ruined. So we want a thick skin on that tomato so you could drop it out a 30-story window and it still won't split open." Oh, here we go again. For the love of money. Because a few damn tomatoes might get ruptured on the way to market, we're going to adulterate all tomatoes. If you don't think that I'm correct, go find somebody who's growing heirloom Jersey tomatoes. Heirloom, meaning pure. Non-hybrid, non-GMO, organic tomatoes. And you take a bite out of that tomato and tell me you can't tell the difference. I also challenged people about eggs. You know, I learned this firsthand living on a farm. I rented a farmhouse from a buddy. He and his brother had bought it with the idea of making it all organic, everything that was grown in the ground and all the animals, as organic as we could make it. And I found out because he had chickens there, and I ate the eggs from these chickens. And I'm going to tell you, nothing in the store ever came close to these eggs. Because the chickens were open to range all day long. They came in to their coops at night. We fed them organic, non-hybrid, non-GMO grain. And all day long, they would eat bugs amongst the grass. They would even eat bugs off the legs of the cattle because that's how they help the cattle out. The birds and the chickens will come and eat the bugs that are bothering the cows. You see how the synergy works? If you get out of the way, man always gets in the way. So the eggs that these chickens, and the chickens were also fertilized, because there were roosters there, these eggs were so rich and so delicious, it was indescribable. Indescribable. And then when I got into the natural health classes, I found out because they're fertilized, they contain lecithin, and guess what lecithin does in the body? It helps to digest and utilize cholesterol. I'm going to guarantee you those white objects down there in the carton in your Walmart store are not organic fertilized eggs. So you don't have that. So when they say don't eat eggs, we don't recommend you eating eggs. You see, they only give you part of the story, just like all deceivers do. Yeah, they're talking about the Walmart white objects that they call eggs versus Yahweh's creation, which you could eat a dozen of them a day like my grandfather did on the farm. Every morning he'd eat anywhere from 8 to 12 eggs because he was a hard worker. And he didn't have any problems, okay, because he was eating organic eggs. Everything in life is simple, folks. It really is. Man creates the problems. So I went on a tangent there myself, but Unbelievable, unbelievable, unbelievable. Luke chapter 3, verse 7, we'll start here. And he said unto the multitudes who went out to be baptized by him, you offspring of vipers. Oh, so we had multitudes going out, and they were even wanting to be baptized, but they were what? Oh, the Pharisees, hypocrites. What's a hypocrite do? Pretends to be something he is not. Pretends to be one of our race. Pretends to be a believer in our God instead of Lucifer. You offspring of vipers. Already Christ has identified who he's talking to. Offspring of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, produce fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say amongst yourself, we have Abraham for our father. Now, again, he's talking to these vipers. And they do claim Abraham for their father. Sephardic Jews can. Ashkenazis can't, which is 95% of them. But 5% of the Jews, which look like us, like Michael Brandon and Bob Hope and Paul Newman, people like that, they look like us. They have some Abrahamic blood in them. So he says here, you vipers claim, we have Abraham for our father, which is partially true. For I tell you that Yahweh God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. So he's mocking them. Just the fact that you have Abrahamic blood in you, a portion of it, does not make you a child of Yahweh. Even now the axe also lies at the root of the trees. What's he talking about? Yahweh's judgment to destroy a group of people. The trees are always representative of people. Every tree, therefore, that does not produce good fruit. Now, Scripture tells us in other places, what's good fruit? Good works. Every tree that cannot produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Praise Yahweh. We talked about Obadiah, verse 18. We've talked about Ezekiel, chapter 25, verse 14, where Yahweh and his people will become a flame and a fire, and Edom Esau will be as stubble. There's other verses that we've talked about where wicked or those who do wickedly are considered stubble. So at some point, the stubble will be consumed. That's a biblical way of saying judgment will come and destroy them, leaving neither root nor branch. That's a biblical way of saying annihilated. No children, no posterity. Why? Because they are evil and there is no good DNA left in them. Remember, how many times did Father say, nothing that offends me will come into the kingdom? Nothing. I mean, how much clearer in English can you get it? Nothing that offends me will enter the kingdom. And yet the church world is telling you out there, come down to the altar. We have an altar call here and proclaim Jesus as your King and Savior. Come on down here, people. Just pray the sinner's prayer and you've got a ticket into heaven. You can be a race mixer. You can be a homosexual. You can be a deviant in Washington, D.C. and drink kids' blood. You can be a Satanist even. It don't matter as long as you come down here and pray the sinner's prayer. Come on down. Make sure you throw something in the plate on the way out, will you? That's your modern day church world. I just read an article where a church, actually this happened, a church refused entry onto the property to a bunch of people that were pro-life and then turned around and opened the doors wide open to invite the Planned Parenthood people in. Can you say apostasy? Can you say hypocrisy? Can you say having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And I never knew you. Oh, but we said, Lord, Lord, we did great works in your name. He says, what? Get away from me. What's he say to the lukewarm? I'm going to vomit you out. What are the people today that claim to be Christian? If they're not lukewarm, I don't know what the hell lukewarm means. It is good for nothing. The scriptures talks about salt that loses its savor, which means its ability to flavor. Okay, what is salt? Salt is a preservative. Okay? If you want to test that sometime, take a good fresh organic apple. It's got to be organic. And you set it out on a plate. It doesn't take very long for it to turn brown. It'll start to rot. It'll start to spoil. Okay? Sprinkle just a tiny bit of salt on it and see what happens. A little bit of salt will flavor a steak. A little bit of salt will have a great impact on whatever you're cooking. Just a little bit of real salt now. We're talking Celtic or Himalayan. The real deal that has a great number of minerals that your body needs, the trace minerals. Okay? It will flavor whatever it touches. But what do you do with the white stuff that's produced in the factories where everything decent in it has been bleached out and it's good for nothing? What do you do with that salt? You throw it down on the ground when you've got ice on your steps going up to your house, don't you? You sprinkle the salt on there to melt it. That's pretty much the only thing it's good for. And then once it melts the salt, what do? You tread on it. Exactly like the scripture says. It's good for nothing but to be thrown under the feet of men, to be tread upon. That's the only thing it's good for. Traction under your tires or traction under your feet in the snow. It's not good for eating. It's not good for flavoring, and it sure as hell is not going to preserve anything. It's a poison. Everything in Scripture, everything in life is simple to understand and to figure out. Man tries to muddy the waters with the hopes that he can deceive you, and that's what's going on today. We have a tremendous amount of deception going on. Now, as we talk about being armed and ready for what's coming, I believe in what the Boy Scouts teach. A good Boy Scout is prepared for all scenarios, okay? We know, obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on, and much of it is below the radar screens. Unbeknownst to you and I. You and I do not have the capability to verify much of what we see, okay? We really don't. So, it makes it very difficult to figure out just who's playing who. We know there's a lot of deception going on right now by both sides. If there are two sides, I'm assuming there's two sides. We certainly hope there's two sides, or this could just be all hypocrites, meaning actors, bad actors, putting on a play, a show, for the benefit of getting the patriots, the true believers, to what? Lay down their guard, to lay down their vigilance, to cease to be vigilant on watching what's going on. Remember when Gideon went down to the creek to figure out who he was going to keep in his army? He had already sent the cowards home, so he lost 20-some thousand men out of his band of warriors. He lost 20-some thousand, so he went from 30-some down to 10,000. And Yahweh said, you still have too many men. And Gideon was pretty perplexed, you know, geez, Father Yahweh, I mean, come on. I was outnumbered pretty badly when I had 33,000 guys, and now you're telling me that my 10,000 left is too many? He said, take them down, get them a drink of water. It's a hot day in Palestine. Go down there and get them a drink of water, and you watch them. if they drop their weapons and stick their face down in the creek to get a big old gulp of water, you send them home. But the guys that are very cautious, very leery, very vigilant, that go down by the creek and they hang on to their sword, their spear, and their shield, and they just go down and get close to the water, but their eyes are always on the horizon, always watching for the enemy. And they cup the water in their hand and bring it up to their face so that their eyes never leave the horizon. He said, those are the ones you keep. So he went from 10,000 down to 300. That's about the ratio of the white race that's diligent today, isn't it? Out of 10,000 that aren't cowards, because if you weed the cowards out, it's even worse. The ratio is worse. But once you've weeded the cowards and the cucks and the boys with their hair up in buns and all this other absolute lunacy, the transgender, the homosexual, all the other, they're already whacked. They're already weeded out from amongst us. But even the ones that are left, it'll be 300 to 10,000. The ones that have enough sense that you never lay down your weapons. You never disarm yourself. You never stop being vigilant, and you never trust government, ever. The Founding Fathers said the exact same thing. Ronald Reagan even said the same thing, okay? Presidents have even pointed that out. Never, ever, ever trust government, ever. That's why in Scripture, government is referred to as a beast, okay? Every time you see a prophecy or a description and they use the term beast, they're talking about governments, folks. They're not talking about an enemy coming over with banners flying and on their horses for war. That's an enemy you can easily determine and easily prepare to fight. The beast likes to roam around looking for those that he can devour, acting as if he's not your enemy. Looking for you to lower your guard, just like a lion does when he's circling a bunch of antelope. He circles. He may circle all afternoon. What is he waiting for? He's waiting to find the ones who are not diligent. He's waiting to find the weak ones, the cucks, the ones who don't take that don't keep their eyes on the horizon. And he preys upon them. You can go into any church in America and you'll find that church is full of prey. The beast preys on them. And the pastor is nothing but a deaf and dumb dog. He's a traitor to his congregations, setting the sheep up for the slaughter. Yeah, these are precarious times, to say the least. Another way for us to be armed would be in Psalm 64, verse 2, where it says, hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from the violence of the workers of iniquity. To be properly armed for what we're coming up against, folks, your greatest salvation, your greatest armor comes in your relationship with the Father. Back when I started my stomping on the, the soapboxes about the political corruption, and then when I learned identity, I added in the corruption of the church. I had many friends and relatives told me that, you know, Dan, you need to stop doing that. I said, why? Well, it's dangerous. There's people that's not going to like what you're doing and what you're saying. I said, really? I said, so then you're telling me that the scriptures are a lie, right? Well, no, the Bible's true. Well, wait a minute, the Bible tells me that he protects those who love him. He watches over his servants and prophets. Isn't that what it says? Well, yeah, but that, that's all nice and, but these people are real. I mean, these people have weapons and assassins in their pocket, and they can destroy your reputation. They got the media. They can call you name. Okay, yeah, that's true. They do. But you haven't made a point yet. Where does it say in our scriptures, or even in your conscience, if you are truly a son of Yahweh, where does it say in there that we are to acquiesce to the wicked? Somebody pointed out to me, either in writing or by the fruits of the Spirit. Where do we acquiesce to the wicked and the evildoers? Seems to me it says to hunt them down and destroy them. Everything I've read says that. If you want true peace and prosperity on earth for all mankind, then you have to turn loose the sons of righteousness with their weapons of war to go after these criminals, these Satanists, these pedophiles, these child rapists, these organ harvesting absolute beasts. No conscience in them whatsoever. And if you say, well, we should try to reclaim them or rehabilitate them, what? What? Are you serious? No. You don't rehabilitate somebody that has no conscience, okay? To rehabilitate assumes that there was a conscience there that just went bad or under bad influences. These monsters have no conscience. To rip the organs out of a living person while they're alive, under no anesthesia, and selling their organs on an open market for many tens of thousands of dollars, you're going to tell me we need to be civil with these people? No, they need to be cut down on the spot. Sword, put right through their gizzard. Or take off their heads, I don't care. Just like they did to the priests of Baal at Kishon's Brook. Put the sword to them. Bleed them out right there on the spot. They are devils in flesh. Devils. Anybody that could rape a child, or terrorize a child and then drink its blood, or consume a child, or sell a child. That person deserves only death. Death. Now, we as the sons and daughters of Yahweh, we are under His authority to do that, but only if we take the steps to ensure that a person's guilty of the crime. That is a responsibility for His watchmen and for His men at arms. Okay, the elders and the men at arms have a heavy responsibility. Yes, we have the right to execute them, and we will. Once we get the wicked out of our way, we will go after these people. But there's always a big but. You had better be sure you did not execute an innocent man or woman. That is the first duty of a judge or an executioner. You don't do it for political reasons. You don't do it for financial gain. You don't even do it out of vengeance. You do it because it's just. And the only way it can be just is if you've done your homework and you have proved guilt. Once you've done that, have at it. They need to be taken down. Hangings, swords, spears, stoning, it don't matter to me. As long as they disappear, they need to be taken off the face of this earth. Now, in the good book, I believe it's Leviticus, might have been Deuteronomy, it talks about the fact your land is cursed. We're talking about every white nation on earth right now. Your land is cursed until the innocent blood has been avenged. It says right there in your book, Now again, if you think this is harsh and cruel, then please stop being hypocrites and take your Bibles out and put them over in the trash barrel and pour lighter fluid on them and burn them. Would you please stop being damn hypocrites? Because I'm just telling you what's in the scripture. Just because your preacher is a cuck and he sold you out already to the Department of Homeland Security so that he and his family will be spared, that's not my fault that you chose a poor shepherd. Because this shepherd is telling you this is what's going to happen. You are going to be, you men at arms, are going to be part of the cleanup crew. And the guys that are a little on the elderly side that may not be very fit for combat, you are going to be part of the leadership. You're going to be part of the tribunals. So we've got a lot of talk about tribunals out there, but we're not really sure yet who these tribunals are for. I know there's a lot of reports out there, but do you know for certain who they're for? Do you know for certain what the agenda of these people is? Okay, I can't answer that. I don't know. I can only read the tea leaves. I can only see the clouds on the horizon or the smoke on the horizon. I can only tell the seasons, just like the scripture talks about. Okay? I don't know the day or hour of his coming. I don't know what these people have in their minds and hearts. Yahweh told us that we aren't given that ability. He has that ability. You and I don't. So what did he tell us to do? Judge them by their fruits. Well, if you're going to judge them by their fruit, let's see, last time I checked, when I go up to an apple tree, I can see the apples. I know what kind of fruit they are. It's not hiding. It's not 5D chess. It's not, well, we got to hide our apples till, you know, you're ready for these kind of, these are really strong apples. I mean, we don't think you're ready for it. What? Excuse me? How am I going to judge the fruit if I can't see the fruit? If I can't touch the fruit, if I can't see if it's actually organic, if I can't see that it's actually sweet, so it's been properly pruned and raised as a true apple tree, organic apple tree, how am I going to tell the fruit when you're hiding it? Or you've got it masqueraded so it looks like a bunch of grapes up in the apple tree, or it looks like oranges, because, you know, we're playing 5D chess now. So we don't want the enemy to see our apples. Well, yeah, but the rest of us can't see the apples either. That's my problem with what I see going on today. Are there good people out there? Well, sure there are. The world hasn't gone completely to hell, has it? So obviously there's good people with good intentions, but there's also evil people playing both sides of the fence. I'm just telling you that from my point of view, I only have what Yahshua HaMashiach told us, Jesus the Christ. And that, he said, was to judge them by their fruits. Not words, and not print, and not emails, and not websites, and not YouTube videos. Because there's no fruit there. They're just reports. And I don't know who makes those reports. They don't consult with me. They don't show me their evidence. They just make the reports, and we're just supposed to trust that. I trust Yeshua. I trust my instincts, and I trust what my eyes see and my senses can pick up. I trust those things. I trust some of the people in my inner circle that I've known for a long period of time because I've seen their fruit. I can tell what their fruit is. My senses can pick up their fruit. But we got a lot of these players on the stage today. And their actions are not readily discernible. So everybody's hiding their fruit. Now the enemy's very open with their bad fruit. The left, the Democrats, the satanic forces, the pedophiles, they're very open with their criminality. Very open. So we know about their fruit. they're pretty easy to pick out. Okay? Same thing with the Jews. They're very easy to decipher their fruit. All of it ugly. Bad. Not a problem there. We know who the enemy is. We know who the workers of iniquity are. My problem is this army of good people that are trying to undermine all this and return, quote, the earth to the good people. Their fruit's not visible. Everything is a report. Everything is a, in a few more days, a few more days, a few more days, a couple weeks, a few more days, we'll reveal it. You'll see it. It'll be public. Really? In the meantime, we still have a media that is absolutely the enemy of the people. In your face, your enemy. They're still operating. They're still getting paid. They're still able to deceive. I haven't seen a major player yet. I haven't seen the bodies of the supposedly dead. So my point is, and I'm not trying to disparage good guys if they are out there trying to do something, but I'm just saying, y'all need to come out from hiding. The people that really, truly want justice in this world and want a brighter future for all mankind, we can handle your fruit. The cucks, transgender, freaks, Satanists, degenerates, why do you care if they can handle your fruit? So that group, to hell with them. Because literally, that's where they're headed. Hell. We don't care about them. So this group that's left, the ones that love truth and justice and righteousness, we're the ones that matter, not them. And this group is tired of waiting. Not that it's going to happen overnight, the fixing. Yes, the fixing could take years. That's true. But the fruit needs to be shown. No more clandestine, hidden in breadcrumbs. No more 5D chess. Any references to that stuff from this point on is useless. If you're truly doing good things, you need to come out and show it to us. The enemy already knows about it, don't they? Sure they do. They have access to a lot of the same things you have. So they already know what you're up to. So where is the advantage of being so cloak and dagger with the enemy? The enemy's not going to change whether you're cloak and dagger or not. Why aren't you being upfront with us? So we only have one choice then, and that is to trust no one but our Father. And that's where I'm going back to that one. I kind of had a bad feeling about this whole MAGA thing in the beginning because it was like it was establishing a false Christ. People were talking about Donald Trump as if he's a Messiah. I don't see that. Now, if I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to admit it. If you can show me that I've missed something that should be obvious, please straighten me out. Trust me, I've said I'm sorry many times in my life. I've said, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. I've said it many times. I have no problem with that. And trust me, I wish many times I was wrong. But I'm just saying I have an uneasy feeling right now. Because this has gone on too long. The cloak and dagger, the 5D chess, everything's in behind the scenes. Well, that's very easy to do things that are deceptive if it's all behind the scenes, correct? And I thought we're all about transparency, honesty, justice, being forthright, right? Radamanthine, that's what we men should be. Radamanthine warriors for truth and justice. That's what Yahweh commands us to do. So I don't see how being Radamanthine fits in with this cloak and dagger garbage. That's my problem with it. And again, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to go forward with my circle of friends and make preparations for the fact that maybe they're not really who they claim to be. And we're going to do what our Heavenly Father told us to do at all times, not just now. We're always to be know the ways of war and the weapons of war. In fact, the scripture even says that we are to teach our families the ways of war and weapons of war. You go through this world with a positive influence as the sons and daughters of Yahweh from a position of strength, not weakness. Spiritual strength, racial strength and purity, honesty and integrity, and military strength. Those are not suggestions. Those are commandments. So, what to believe today? Again, your father told you who to believe. Him. He's in charge. You're his son or daughter. You have faith in him. You pray to him. You worship him. You dwell upon him at the rising in the morning in your beds till the time your head hits the pillow. Your thoughts should be on Father Yahweh and his law. And I hope and pray that you've read his law. It's not that hard. It's not that long. It's sure as hell not as complicated and completely chaotic as man's law is. So we are to be armed and ready. Armed how? With truth, obviously. Truth of Scripture. Truth of what? Truth of the Holy Spirit. And the truths that we teach and share with one another. Faith. Our faith is also part of our armor. We do not have the spirit of fear. Fear is how the enemy works. By keeping us afraid, they can manipulate us. Our faith is in our Father and each other. Righteousness. Uh-oh, this is a toughie for our people. Righteousness. Now, first of all, our faith in the Father is the what? Beginning of wisdom, and it's also accounted for us as righteousness. Righteousness or right thinking is also to repent. Here we go with that. Rethink, repent. To put your thoughts and your motives in line with his. That's what makes you and distinguishes you as a child of the Most High. So we have truth, faith, righteousness. That's part of our armor. To be ready, vigilant. What does vigilant mean? Always have your eyes open. As we talked about Gideon and his men, always keep your eyes on the horizon. Always be on the lookout. Doers and not hearers only. We got a lot of pew setters out there amongst our people. A lot of people want to sit on the fence, don't want to get involved. They're afraid of everything. They're afraid of their shadows. They're afraid of being called something. They're afraid of being labeled. On and on. They're always afraid. Always afraid. Well, they might take my pension. They might take my job. They might take my house. Might take my boat. Last thing on their mind is, well, I should do it because it's the right thing to do. As General Stonewall Jackson in the War of Northern Aggression said, duty is ours and consequences belong to God. Duty is ours. And as the Founding Fathers said, resistance to tyranny is obedience to the living God. Resistance to tyranny. And if white people can't tell we live in a tyranny, they are dumber than a box of rocks. And people that are dumber than rocks don't count. So forget about trying to evangelize them or awaken them to what's going on in the world. They are never going to get it because they have no more intellect than a stone sitting out in the field. They're dumber than a box of rocks. They don't care. They're apathetic. They're lazy. As Joe Cortina calls it, they are willfully ignorant. And that is a sin. Willful ignorance is a sin. In the news, we got Israel trying to provoke World War III. Yet again, they're attacking Syria. And just today, I read that Russia has issued a warning for Israel to back off. But here again, on the political side of things, even across the earth, how do we know we're not being played? I mean, these people all dine together. They're probably wife swapping with each other, getting into pedophilia with each other. So it's hard to tell what's show and what's for real. All we do know is Israel has performed acts of aggression against Syria and supposedly were warned to stop. If it were only true, doesn't seem like anybody has enough intestinal fortitude to take on these devilish and satanic Jews. We got a bunch of black people claiming to be the Israelites of old and that white people are not the people of the Bible. How ironic. And the media, of course, gives them lots of playtime. But if a bunch of white people walked out and said, we're the Israelites of old, how much camera time would you get in front of the mainstream media, the Jewish media? None. I'll guarantee it, none. But a bunch of blacks claiming to be the Israelites, they're getting all kinds of FaceTime on camera. Well, yeah, because it's a lie, obviously. So the Jews, who are nothing but liars, and their media, which is nothing but lies, of course they're going to put it out there. Because, again, they want to foment chaos and to keep you confused and afraid. Typical of the Jews and their hypocrisy, the 5G technology was born from Jewish brains. At least that's what they're claiming. How about that? And yet, there will be no 5G technology used in Israel. They're going to use hardwire. Well, wait a minute, Jews. Well, let me get this straight. You have promoted 5G technology, your Jewish lapdogs here in America and the other white nations is pushing it. In fact, the head of the FCC said that he doesn't even want to wait for any kind of safety committees or even Congress's approval. He wants 5G up and running no later than 2020, no later than, maybe sooner. They're in a mad rush to force 5G down our throats, much like they are the vaccines. But the nation of hypocrites called Israel isn't going to put it up in their country. Why not? I would think they'd be the first one that would be completely covered with 5G if it's beneficial. So, hey, hypocrites. Hypocrites. You know what's going to happen? They're going to put up some fake towers, and they're going to bring in these whores called journalists, and they're going to have them take some pictures over in It's a Lie of these fake towers and go, well, see, we changed our mind there, stupid white people, because see, that there's a 5G tower, so we got 5G in Israel. And they're going to report it, and of course the cucks and prostitutes behind the pulpit will also say, well, see there, all those naysayers about Israel, see right there's a 5G tower right there. Of course, it's not wired up. It's not actually generating any signals. It's just a picture of a tower that looks like a 5G tower. That's what they're going to do. They know it's not good for you, and that's why they don't want it over there. Just like they don't want us building a wall for our protection, but they put one around their country. You see what I'm saying? Hypocrites. Beware their hypocrisy. Beware their hypocrisy. The Yellow Vest protests is going worldwide. I'm going to put my Yellow Vest on order tomorrow. I'm going to start wearing one for two reasons, actually. It's kind of like a show of support for the people that are rising up against tyranny, but it's also because I'm the Crime Watch chairman for my community, and I go on patrols at night quite often, and some of these people drive like complete maniacs around here, and I've often thought it would be pretty advantageous to have something more reflective than just my clothes. So it'll be a double purpose, but I'm going to get mine. And they're not that expensive, so a little something I can do both for safety and to show some support. The former CIA officer, Kevin Shipp, has come out saying that this Barr, Attorney General nominee Barr, is no good. And everything I've read about the guy says he's no good either. All the more reason, again, I have to sit here and I scratch my head like Pavlov's dog. I'm sitting here going, wait a minute. we got white hats, we got the military, we got Trump, and we're going to drain the swamp, and we're going to give you back your country, but we're going to put a piece of shit like Barr in as Attorney General. We're going to put another POS in as a Supreme Court Justice who's a Jesuit, Roman Catholic, in as a member of the Secret Executive Service. You can't get any deeper in the swamp than Kavanaugh. But that's good. Do you see Pavlov's experiment happening again? You're being told, here's your stimulus. You got these white hats and all this great stuff coming on, but now you're given the stimuli of the direct opposite. Wait a minute, you brought me in a nice big plate of food. Now you got a baseball bat and you're going to beat the crap out of me. You brought me in this nice plate of food saying we've got Q and white hats and Trump really wants to do this. But then you come in with a baseball bat called Kavanaugh or a baseball bat called Barr or a baseball bat called Bolton or a baseball bat called Nikki Haley. Which is it? It's very hard not to feel you're being played at this point. And again, I was like everybody else, hoping, wishing, and praying. And we said we would give until middle of January, and middle of January is here. No more subterfuge. No more games. No more breadcrumbs. No more 5D chess, no more, well, we're going to do it down at Gitmo. That's another question I got. Why does this all have to happen in Cuba? Why the hell can't it happen on our shores? Or is it because you and I and the citizen journalists don't have access to Cuba? How do we verify what's going on? How do we make sure our public servants aren't being bad actors? Why are you hiding at Gitmo? You can't put that kind of facility here on the States? Huh? Again, that's a sign of somebody up to something that might not be what you're telling me. Just saying. Again, if somebody can prove me wrong or show me something I've missed, I'll be glad to say I'm sorry. I really would. I wish I was wrong, but I just have a bad, bad feeling. And again, that's why I put the new page up on the website, Lock and Load, because I believe every one of us should be locked and loaded. Exactly as my founding father said, exactly as the Christ said, exactly as Yahweh told the prophets. Learn the ways of war and the weapons of war. You were never allowed to lay down your weapons. You were never allowed to cease being warriors, you men. Never. And I don't care how old you are. If you can pick up a rifle and squeeze the trigger, you're a warrior for the Father. If you can pick up the mic on a CB radio or a ham radio and communicate, you're a warrior. If you can drive a truck with a load of guys in it, you're a warrior. Period. At no time were we to lay down our weapons and trust anybody until Shiloh come himself. Never, ever. And again, that new page on my website, PastorDan.net, is entitled Lock and Load. It's got the symbol for and, lock and load. If you have any suggestions of something you want to be discussed on there or an answer to questions, or you've got some favorite weapons that you found that were excellent buys for home protection, send them to me and I'll share them with Jacob Israel. If you have a source for weapons, like a good website, like Cheaper Than Dirt is a good one. Sportsman Guide is another good one. And I have them listed on the bottom of that page, websites where you can find some really, really good deals right now. And not only those places, but again, check things like local flyers or bulletin boards. Or I put the word out amongst my friends many, many times. you can purchase them from friends or people you know and trust, that they're just looking for some quick cash, or they're just tired of it and want to buy something new. And that's the best way of all, because there's no paper trail. And you definitely want some of your weaponry to have no paper trail. That would be wise. I know you can't do it all the time, but, you know, I like to tell a story that was quite some time ago, probably almost two decades ago. I was buying weapons for a bunch of our white boys out in the Midwest where I was working, because they were afraid. Even back then, they were afraid. Oklahoma City had happened. It had its effect. It made everybody feel ashamed of being called militia, being ashamed of being white, being ashamed of owning weapons, afraid that they would be on some kind of list. So I went around to all the guys and said, look, I've got a friend, he's got his FFL license. I said, if you want something to protect your home and you're too damn scared to get it yourself, then give me the money and I'll get it for you. And I did. Because I said, I don't care. I'm already on a list. I'd been on a list. Already on it. So what difference does it make? Add some more there. I don't care. I said, it's more important that you have the way to defend your home and your family than it is worrying about a damn list. So if that's the problem, give me the money. I'll go get it. But you protect you and your family. We got to stop being cucks and cowards and worried about the enemy. If we are truly his sons and daughters, why are we worried about that? Didn't Daniel sit in the den with the lions? That's pretty hairy, isn't it? That's pretty tough, having to go down in a den with a bunch of hungry lions. Last time I checked, he not only went down there, but he walked out. Or Daniel and the three Israelites, three Hebrews, our people, went into the furnace. Three Israelites came out. But the king saw a fourth in there, didn't he? Yeah. Don't forget that we are with the high command, and there is no reason for us to be fearful. Just the opposite. Ted, welcome to the program, buddy.
Hey, Dane, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's good to hear you, bud. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. It has. Hey, I got your email. I saw the one that you sent out about lock and load on your site, and I was in the process of replying back to the email and then saw the message come through for the show tonight, and I figured I'll just join in and see if I can catch him.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
There was a site. There's a couple sites that I wanted to throw out to you.
Okay.
The first one that's worth mentioning is gun-deals.com. And this is an aggregate site. It can search the entire internet, and you can pull up any sort of deal you want. If you need AR-15 mags and you want to go by price point, you can search it by price and get the most for the cheapest price.
Excellent.
Any obscure caliber that you might have, if you have a 16-gauge shotgun from Grandpa and you can't find 16-gauge shells at the local sports shop, you can go on this site, gun-deals.com, and find almost anything you want. If you want parts, magazines, if you want to build something and need the pieces to put it together, you can find it on this site. The second one that I wanted to recommend to folks would be armslist.com. This is a private party website where people post, just like you might sell a car on Craigslist. You can post your firearm for sale, post pictures, all the information, contact information, and then you meet up with them, you know, someplace you both agree, and check it out and buy face to face. So you don't have to go to the gun show and have everyone gawking at you. That whole thing, waiting in line, paying to get in, spending time on the weekend, driving to the gun show. I've used arms list in the past, and it's good. It's all about communicating with the person when you make contact and feeling them out, and you got to use good judgment, of course. But it's a white race thing. I've never had any bad dealings with anyone on there. In fact, I was getting an XD9 handgun, and I go meet this man, and his wife is with him, and well, John, tell him about all the awards you've won. It turned out he was a world-class shooter, so you can meet some pretty interesting people in the process there. So,
wow.
If you don't want to do the gun show thing, if you don't want to go pay for, some of these big box stores, they charge you $80 for an FFL transfer, and then you got to pay sales tax on top of that too. So a lot of times you can find lightly used or brand new stuff on these sites like armslist.com.
Wow,
so
that's
I wanted to make you aware of that, and
I've had
good experiences. So,
well, that's what I like is personal testimony. So, and we've known you for quite some time, and we know you're trustworthy. So, I will definitely get that out to everybody. One of the sites that I have listed up there is actually the business of a buddy of mine. He's a Navy veteran, and he runs a really, really good business, making rifles and pistols, selling pistols and ammunition. I've been to his facility, and I like to support him as much as I can, but deals like you're talking about right here, that's phenomenal. So, yeah, thanks a lot for sharing that. Hey, Bubby, 1483 says here he heard today that 50 state militia have been activated. Have you heard anything about that, Ted?
No, I have not. The last I heard about on the gun front is that I think it was Feinstein and the Democrats put forth another, like we had in the 90s, another assault weapons ban up on the table in the House, I think. House or Senate, I'm not sure. And that's the last I heard. So,
I think we're very close to a time for civil disobedience. That's what I think we're time for. I think it's time to tell Washington D.C. that you no longer apply at the state level. We need to organize our states and get groups within our states to press upon the state leadership that they need to, if not secede from the union, at least make a declaration that the feds don't no longer apply. Because a lot of the feds' laws, by the way, have usurped states' rights anyway. For instance, abortion. Why is that a federal thing? That's not a federal thing. That's a local thing. Okay, same thing with weapons. That's a local thing. Why the hell is the feds involved with that? Same thing with drugs and everything else. Those should be handled at the local level. That's not a federal thing. It doesn't apply to 50 states equally. It's ridiculous. So it's time to put the feds in their place, I think. But anyway, gun-deals.com. I think that is phenomenal. But
yeah,
I really, really want to check out this arms list. ARMS, arms list, that's all together, .com. That is phenomenal. I'm glad you shared that because I did not know that existed, and I'm certainly going to check it out. And I know quite a few people looking for something exactly like that for the exact reasons that you just said. So, because my personal opinion is a well-armed society is a polite society. Where I grew up, every farmhouse in the county where I grew up, virtually every farmhouse had weapons in it. Every farmhouse. And the whole time as a boy growing up in Pennsylvania, I don't remember a single incidence of that being a problem. Ever. Of course, where I grew up was probably 96 to 7% white. But we had no problems whatsoever, and virtually every home had weapons in it. But I will tell you one thing. Rural Pennsylvania at that time had one of the lowest crime rates anywhere. And again, I say it's because an armed society is a polite society. Who's going to break into a farmer's farmhouse knowing he could get blown away in a second? Nobody would hesitate shooting him dead on the spot, and nobody would blame him for doing it. So everybody, as we used to say in the old days, minded their P's and Q's. You didn't go in and disrupt your neighbor or trespass on his property or any of that because everybody was armed. Does that make sense, Ted?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, there was a town in Georgia, I think it was Kennesaw, Georgia, and I remember I wrote a paper in school about Kennesaw, Georgia, how they, I think they made it mandatory that every homeowner had to have a weapon of some sort. And people yes. throw that out there as an example with the crime statistics of rape, armed burglary, assault dropping dramatically. No one, no criminal wanted to go hunting in the grounds of Kennesaw, Georgia after that. So,
yeah, they did that right after some city outlawed the weapons in the city. I can't remember where that was, but it made the news media, of course, because they want the fear porn to make everybody afraid. So they were really pushing this city. So Kennesaw, Georgia said, okay, well, we're going to go do the opposite. We're going to tell everybody to be armed in our city. Of course, they also said, we're not going to obviously be aggressive in enforcing this law. But they actually had a law on the books that said everybody should be armed. And they weren't going to go house to house to check to make sure you had a weapon. But just the fact that they had made that a law, and obviously many people were armed, you're right. The crime rate went skyrocketing downward. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're not going to find anything like that. They're never going to tell you that on the TV, unfortunately. I happen to be clued into alternative media, alternative news, and happen to stumble upon it. And, blew me away, too, now that I think about it. Because, you know, when you're exposed to new information and new facts that have been kept from you, It's like a punch in the gut, and you never see things the same way afterward.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So let me ask you, Ted, now that we got you online, you know, I gave my point of view as far as the way things look to me, just for the hell of it. How do you see things right now? I mean, as far as Q, White Hats, Operation Disclosure, all these different sites and you know, this 3D or 5D chess, and the good guys are actually doing all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. What do you think about all that? How do you feel about all that based on what you know and what you see?
Well, I agree with your sentiment about states pulling out and getting away from the District of Criminals. And we say that, and people hear that, they cringe and think, gee, well, that's never going to fly. That's never going to happen. And really, that's the only feasible route that I see out of this. I hope Trump, whether he gets railroaded out or whether he wins re-election and is in there, I hope that, you know, the most damage he could ever do to Washington, D.C. and the establishment is to have some dog whistle or give some green light to secession from Washington, D.C. That would hurt his enemies more than almost anything, I would argue. And I know on the Q front, people get worked up about the Q thing and Trump, and it really sounded too good to be true from the beginning, and I was just hoping that Trump would give us time for people to prepare and get things in order and give us a little bit of a reprieve that people can make the most of it. And I'm afraid that the Q thing has been hijacked, or I don't know, maybe it's bad from the beginning, and I don't know exactly what happened, but I'm afraid that it's been used to pump Trump supporters full of all these high expectations. And then when Trump can't deliver on the impossible, of course, people are upset. And I see that more and more from the Q crowd. They're very upset that Locker Up didn't happen, that the 55,000 sealed indictments haven't come, all these sort of things. And I'm very concerned that it's been used as a way to take steam out of the Trump supporters' sails. Trump has been, if you follow Israeli news reports, especially with this Syrian pullout thing, they are very on edge about this. And Trump ought to be supported nonstop for pulling troops out of Syria alone. That alone. Well, and you know what? His pushing back at the media alone and poking holes in their operations, that alone ought to be worth people, you know, shouting from the rooftops to come out and to support Trump. And so I think we focus on the wrong things with Trump, especially with the Q thing. We need to keep it realistic and realize this man is the closest thing to John Kennedy that we've had. He is in no way a neocon like George W. Bush. And we need to keep these measuring sticks in view because that's the way to really look at it. If he was owned and bought by Bibi in Israel, folks, do you really think he'd be pulling out of Syria? Syria isn't anything new. It's just what Act 3 or 4 of the Great War conspiracy that that Bill Kristol and Project for a New American Century had back 20 plus years ago when they wrote the paper in 1996. And tried to get Bill Clinton to go after Saddam Hussein. Well, Obama went along with it. He didn't give Israel everything. They really didn't like the Iran deal. But now Trump is trying to withdraw out of Syria, and this is like unprecedented stuff here. And I see Q folks getting mad or fed up with Trump when now is not the time to do that. Now is the time to stay steady, and this is the best. Trump is the best thing you're ever going to get in a president. There is no one ever going to be close in our lifetimes to doing what he's done. So stay steady. Stay the course. This pie-in-the-sky stuff, you got to put that aside. Play small ball. Try to get the little things. That's what we need.
Okay. Hey, we got another caller. Let me bring him on, and then when I bring him on, it's going to drop you, but I'll bring you right back.
That's not a problem. Yeah, go ahead. All right. Thank you.
Hey, Henry, how you doing, bud?
Hi, Dan. And hi, Ted. Still listening. I just wanted to jump into what Ted just spoke of. I not too long ago, I feel like I was in the exact same spot that Ted just spoke of in regards to Trump. However, my mind is being changed, and I'm very much more open-minded to the possibility that he's not what he's represented himself to be. And when Ted mentioned the Syria withdrawal, I'm not so sure that that's not just another false move made by Trump, because to my understanding, those troops are not necessarily being withdrawn. They're more or less being reassigned to Afghanistan to most likely, of course, protect the poppy fields. So, you know, too many of the Trump supporters I'm not saying this specific towards Ted or anyone else that might be listening, because I was... Not that very long ago, I was very, very adamant in my support for Trump. And I'm much more pessimistic these days and much more open-minded about everything that I see unfolding as far as his decisions, especially concerning foreign affairs in the Middle East, more specifically. And like I said, I seriously doubt if that was an actual withdrawal of troops as far as them actually coming home. My best sources that I have gathered, they're simply just going to be reassigned and troop numbers are actually going to be increasing in Afghanistan. So it's just another. It could be just another. I think it's just another example of throwing out a phrase to keep his supporters happy, giving them throwing them a little bone here and there, and it catches the airwaves, and it's a great soundbite. He's withdrawing from Syria, just like he said on the campaign trail. But if, in fact, what is happening is they're just being reassigned to Afghanistan, what the heck? I mean, you know what I mean? So, I don't want to rain. You know, I don't want to be negative, but I think Trump supporters need to be. A lot of Trump supporters are not open-minded, and I think a lot of them need to start realizing that he might be not be who we think he is.
Well, that's why the caution. You know, all we're saying is be cautious and not lower your guard. Okay, we're not saying that it's impossible that he's a good guy or that there's a good military trying to straighten out the country. We're not saying that. But what we're saying is that all of us should be vigilant and on our guard, because these are dangerous times, because there is a move to turn Trump almost into a dictator monarch, all right?
Exactly.
Because our problems are so severe. Well, who created these damn problems? The same government, all right?
Right.
So this is a dangerous time, because the people are almost clamoring for a dictator, clamoring to be caged in a wall, clamoring for tribunals, which all those things could be turned around on the good people. All right?
Exactly.
That's why they're dangerous. All we're saying is that you've got to maintain your vigilance right now, because Christ said we can't look on the hearts of men. I can't see in his heart, okay, because there's evidence of him being part of the deep state as much as there's evidence that says he's a patriot and trying to do the right thing.
Exactly.
His daughter's married to a Mossad agent, for crying out loud. He's going to have grandchildren that are half Jew. Well,
right. For every?
Okay, so you mean to tell me I'm not supposed to be concerned about that?
We have to be. We have to be diligent. And for every good and positive thing you can say about him, and the most positive thing I can think of personally since he's been in office for the 2 years, has been his stance on globalism. I think that's been, and also his anti-media. He's made those two things. That's been a tremendous thing. No matter how he actually turns out, whether he's a Rothschild puppet or he's a true patriot, the way he's exposed the media, that you can't underestimate and make how good a thing that has turned out to be, regardless of who he actually is. So,
right.
but we have to be skeptical. I used to, for a period of time, I was just watching and listening and reading stories and reports that were emphasizing the greatness of Trump and what he's accomplishing, and started to go down that queue. Kind of following. Not that I was ever 100% on board with Q, as you well know. I've always been kind of skeptical of Q, and I'm more skeptical of the Q thing now than ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably just reiterating myself too much here, but it just emphasizes how important it is to just know that there's a distinct possibility that this could go either way. And
I just got a text from a listener saying that Trump authorized or signed on to the Noahide laws. Is that true or not?
You asking me? I don't know.
I'm asking you and Ted.
Okay, is Ted there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought I was off. I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything to that effect.
Okay. Well, if it's true, that's not a good thing, okay? Because in the Noahide laws, as they were presented, it is almost Soviet-style Bolshevism, in the sense that any criticism of the Kikes is either a prison sentence or a death sentence. Okay.
Sorry to cut in here. I do know that the Congress, I think they passed a piece of legislation recently that there is going to be what they call an anti-Semitism envoy, and that Trump is to appoint a head to this body. And to my knowledge, that's something new. I don't think that's been around. Maybe I was just unaware of it. That's all I've heard in that respect.
Yeah, you started to break up a little bit, Ted. Enough of it to know what you're talking about. I've heard a little bit about what you're talking about. There's been quite a few articles written about the push for stamping down anti-Semitism, which is actually anti-Jewishism because they're not Semites. Another misnomer. We're flooded with misnomers and lies and deception. They're not even Semites. But so what they're actually saying is any criticism of Jewry. And many of the states are following in step with the saying that it's legal to chastise businesses, not giving them state contracts if they support the boycotting, boycott, divest, or sanction. That's it. Boycott BDS movement, which is boycott, divest, or sanction of Israel. So if anybody supports the BDS movement, they won't get a state contract. Well, how the hell, who pushed the whole separation of church and state? That was Jews, Jew money and Jews. Okay, and then they turn around and want their religion protected. Okay, so we can't protect what we are, which is Christians, but we're supposed to be able to protect Jews with legislation, just like you can't have a Ten Commandments in front of an office building, but you can have a menorah. Those are all signs that you're a conquered people.
Well,
really?
Yeah, I've been since 2016. My biggest concern always has been his affiliations with Jews, and which goes back to his business life. But it certainly hasn't stopped since he's gotten off in office. He's been appointing Jews left and right, either Jews or neocons. And I'm trying to think of one appointment that he's made that I've been actually.
Sorry, Henry, I pressed the wrong button. We cut you off there for a few seconds.
I thought I heard that, but I think what I was trying to point out, what I was saying is, I'm not sure I can think of one cabinet appointment that he's made in the 2 years he's been in that would align with what he ran on. Everyone he's appointed has been either a neocon or a Jew. I mean, tell me one that's not.
Here's
Pompeo. Look at Mike Pompeo. This guy, you talk about Bolton being a warmonger. This guy is pathetic.
Well, here's my point. Who founded this country? White Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Okay?
Correct.
So Europeans. My question is, how many representatives are in Washington of that group of men right now? White Anglo-Saxon Protestant men. How many do you see on a daily basis in either state or federal government who represent white Anglo-Saxon Protestant men? How many?
A very, very small. I'd say less than 10%. I might be wrong, but
way less than 10%.
Way less. There you go. Yeah. So,
okay. So that's my concern, because this country, even the black preacher in Harlem has said that this country is not going to survive if the white race that founded this country doesn't rise up and take it back. Okay?
Right.
We built it. Okay? Whether people like hearing it or not is inconsequential. The fact is we built it. All right? We built it. Everything everybody enjoys in their homes today, we built it. All right.
The United States was created by Europeans for Europeans.
That's exactly right.
End of story.
So here again, we are, there was a good analysis by one of the YouTubers today of the Yellow Vest movement, especially in France. And he was an intellectual, and he was talking about the fact that, well, this is something that happens in every nation when a large portion of the population is completely disenfranchised. They have no representation in any level of government. There's no voice. Well, that's practically every white nation, including Canada and the United States, as far as the white Protestant males are concerned. We have zero voice. We have no voice sticking up for us, and that includes Trump. He's bragging about the fact that blacks and browns are getting all these jobs. Well, wait a minute. To give them more jobs, you're taking them away from whites.
Just the fact that he can't even say that white unemployment has gone down or white employment has gone up. He doesn't even have the balls to even say that because the media would attack him. And the other common denominator with all these white nations being unrepresented by their white European populations is the infestation and infiltration of the Jews in every white nation, which is their modus operandi. That's what they do. They move into what we build, take, destroy, and create chaos.
Well, it's like Philip Glidden wrote a book, Are Jews Parasites? And he's an atheist, so he did not come from a theological point of view, okay? He came from it strictly being an educator his whole life in New England, then moving to Florida, but just what he observed in the education system during his career. They are parasites.
My wife and I were just going to the pool an hour or two ago, and while we were down, I was frustrated with a couple of things personally and on a bigger scale. And I was ranting while I was in the van with her about how they are parasites and on how many different levels they're parasitic. On the medical level, they're parasitic. On the banking level, they're parasitic. So many different levels. They feed off the white man. They just drain everything they can out of us. Our money. They tax us to death. They kill us with their medicine. They control all of these industries that are destroying us, and they just bleed us dry and weaken us for the big kill. That's what they do. That's what they've been doing for 100 years or so. In all these white European countries, it's just coming to a point now where it's reaching a point of no return.
Well, we're crossing the Rubicon. Just a second, Ted, I'll give you the mic, but I wanted to make a correction. Philip Glidden wrote a book entitled Trading on Guilt, but during my interview with him, we talked about the fact that he noticed that Jews are parasites. So, small correction there. The book he wrote was Trading on Guilt. Go ahead, Ted.
Well, I thought you guys made good points. I think the caller makes good points. I don't want to be interpreted as I'm the biggest Trump cheerleader. I just think, Mitt Romney, John McCain, all the rest, these guys, by comparison, Trump looks perfect. I share in your disappointment with his cabinet positions, with, you said, Pompeo and Bolton. Look, I'm right there with you. And I see a lot of people on our side that are fed up with him and discouraged. And I have mixed feelings about it. I share in the frustration, trust me. But at the end of the day, he's still better than a Mitt Romney in there. You pointed out him punching the media in the mouth when they attack him. That alone, in my book, I would argue, is worth the price of going out and pushing the button for him. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Well, I was just going to say, but by the same token, you make good points, Ted. But let's think for just a second. Yahshua told us that our enemy is shrewd. Okay, his father Satan was one of the archangels. Okay, he wasn't stupid. He's just evil. Okay, these people know that the white American people, the patriots, the militia, have been angry for a long time. I know guys that have been stockpiling weapons and ammunition from the 70s and 80s. Oklahoma City was to suppress the militia movement, which was growing leaps and bounds all over America. So the indications that an uprising was coming were there. So many times the serpent said to control the opposition was to lead it. In order to control your opposition, lead it. So a grassroots movement through the militias was growing in America, and it was about ready to pop. I mean, the true patriots knew that we were lied to about Oklahoma City and Randy Weaver and about Waco. They knew that. They knew that they were lied to about 9/11, and they could sense that we are on the verge of eruption, okay? And all of a sudden, here comes the white knight saying exactly what we want to hear. They're not stupid. They put him out there because they know we hate Hillary with a passion. She is just scum. She is pawn scum. They know that. Pretty much anybody they put out there saying anything even close to what we're looking for is going to be a popular person. And that's that's exactly what Trump has done. Effectively, he's been the bone that they have thrown us to get us to sit on our asses saying, well, we got a good guy in there. No different. No, let's go back a few years. No different than when George Bush Jr. came in there because the alternative was so ugly that even an idiot like George Bush Jr. looked good. Because why? Because he professed to be a Christian. Is he? Hell no, he's not. But he professed it. So the church world went nuts. Oh, we got a Bible believer in there, so we're okay. Oh, yeah. A blood-sucking, pedophile, dope-smoking idiot like Bush. But we're okay because the alternative was better. Do you see what I'm saying? It's the same scenario, only one step more, because our anger level had reached a point where they had to throw us a little bit more of a bone than somebody like a Bush. They had to give us a guy that had some credibility, and then you throw in it the fact that he's denouncing the media. Well, come on, guys. Everybody knows the media is nothing but a bunch of whores and communists. Everybody knows that. But he was the first guy that came out on stage and actually said it, which excited the patriots and got them to sit back a little bit, take the magazine out of their carbine rifle, and, well, okay, we got a guy here representing us. It did exactly what Jay from Downtown White Police says. He said, this whole Trump thing is a delay tactic to buy them time to get more preps made for what's coming. And I hate to say it, but I'm thinking Jay, with his background in law enforcement, and he's got a lot of friends in the military. I hope and pray I'm wrong, but man, it's sure starting to smell like a setup to me.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It's almost like you were reading my mind, Dan. This is where I'm at today. I've been kind of gradually getting to this mindset where what you just concluded with your last statement, that's exactly how I summarize my impression of what he's representing right now to me. As I look back on the 2 years and I think about, I also take into context his previous life in television and so forth and so on. He's always had that ability to play on people. I can remember that instance where he was on the wrestling the show there where the WWF or whatever it was, he's always been able to kind of pull things off like that. And it's an instinct of mine right now that my belief is that we are being played big time for the moment, which is almost a climactic point in history where they felt an uprising was inevitable, so to calm and lead the uprising and, as you said, more or less control it, put somebody in there that's going to appeal to our frustrations and more or less keep us calmed down because we've got our guy out there, when in all probability, maybe not probability, but a distinct possibility that he's just a fraud, and we've been played the whole time. And
anybody that's prudent, anybody that's wise, is you have to at least consider this. Okay,
that's
again,
what I'm saying.
We don't have enough evidence to know for sure, and we've said that through the program. We're not saying this is for sure. But anybody with a brain in their head has to look at this and at least consider that it's true, especially when the Jews have been very outspoken in their writings and in their speeches that they like to control the opposition by leading it. And tell me that isn't exactly what Trump has done. He has become the leader of the resistance against globalism and the big bankers and the elitists. He's taken over the leadership position. Now the big question is, whose side is he on? And that's all I'm saying is we must ask that question at this time. You have to ask it. Ted, you haven't said anything.
Let me throw a counterbalance out there.
Okay.
Look, you certainly make good points. I mean, I can't argue with you. I share those same thoughts and feelings. It's like I said, it's very frustrating. It's very disappointing. That being said, did I really expect one president to turn it around? No, but we all hoped. Here's the thing: do you remember the media and the establishment going after George W. Bush, trying to get rid of him like they do every day on TV against Trump? If he is really this snake in the grass, a sleeper agent of theirs, why are they so dead set on getting rid of him? To me, that's what tips the scale in my eyes to think that they really do want rid of this guy. He really is a threat. They feel threatened by him. And I think Israel and Bibi thought they were going to get George W. Bush 2.0, and they're finding out, no, they didn't get that.
Well, let me just make a point that these guys have a track record, and I'm talking about these Zionist Bolsheviks, okay? When the Federal Reserve was first proposed, it was in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and it was soundly denounced by the Supreme Court as being unconstitutional. It was an unpopular bill. It wasn't called the Federal Reserve Act. I can't remember what they called it, but they had a different name for it. The bankers were all for it, etc. The people were very mistrusting, and the Supreme Court also said it was completely unconstitutional. So what did the bankers do? The bankers got a new guy to present the exact same bill, but called it a different title, and the press and the bankers all came out as if they did not like this new version, even though it was a copy of the one that was already denounced. And in the meantime, they got a few choice placements into the Supreme Court, put enough money in the right pockets, and all of a sudden, because they denounced it and said it was not a good bill, the people turned a blank eye, didn't pay attention, and next thing you know, we're settled with exactly what the bankers wanted, even though they came out in the press and said they were against it. I'm just saying, we have a precedent of how these people work, and that's what scares me. They're very good at hiding their true intentions, and in order to get you to do what they want, they'll even go so far as to do exactly what you're talking about. They'll attack the whole time, and behind closed doors, they're rubbing their hands together going, the sheep bought it again.
They're entertained by this, Dad. Let me put this to Ted and you, Dan. This could be the ultimate dog and pony show.
Well, you have to consider it, is what I'm saying. We don't have enough verifiable information presented to us because everything, quote, has to be done behind closed doors, in secrecy, blah, 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 because, oh, it might cause a civic unrest. And what the hell do you call what we're living in? It's civic unrest, all right? The country is falling apart. What the hell do you mean? We got to keep it from the public because there could be riots. What do you call your downtown big cities right now if it's not riots? Look at San Francisco, for crying out loud. It's a shithole. Okay, the country's literally falling apart, and we're going to say, well, we gotta wait, and you know, we don't really want to show all our cards to the. Wait a minute. What do you mean, show all your cards to the enemy? The American people are on your side. We are the majority. We have weapons. We are angry. We are ready to fight. You don't have just the military on your side. You've got us on your side. All you got to do is give us a green light, and you'll get exactly what you want. There won't be a single soul cross our border. There won't be one pedophile that will walk down the street. Just get out of our way. Why? That's my problem. They're always an excuse why they can't show us their cards. And I'm a very skeptical individual. Skeptical. I don't trust anybody. If you won't show me your cards, it's because you're hiding something. And that's all I'm saying. I'm ready for a scriptural return to biblical justice, which means there is no secrecy. As John F. Kennedy said, government has no right to secrecy, ever.
I believe everything that all of these political leaders do say in front of the cameras and what they say and do behind the cameras is 180 degrees different. And I'm not even thinking about that little show that Trump and Pelosi and Schumer did a couple of weeks ago. That was theater too, by the way. But what they say to us and what they say behind our backs is just probably a 180. I wish I could trust them, but I'm just 2 years of watching what's been unfolding, and I'm just becoming very, very pessimistic. And as far as the Q thing goes, what's really insults my intelligence is so many of these websites that specialize on analyzing the Q drops and so forth. Not necessarily just following Q, but I'm really getting tired of all of these websites that every time one of these senior ex-politicians, or in McCain's case, I guess he was a living politician, when McCain died and when Bush Sr. died, of course, there's the evidence we all need that the tribunals are in full mode, ongoing, and these are the first two. Okay, and the ultimate insult, the most ridiculous thing I've heard yet is, this is just recently, now we all know that Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg she's basically dead right now. I mean, and now they're saying, I'm hearing rumors that when she goes, they're going to tell us that she was executed as well. And when I hear that, I will never listen to one of those clowns again. And I'm really getting tired of that. Show me somebody who's in his 50s or 60s and is a scumbucket and is not on death's door right now, and show me evidence that he was executed before you come out and say that again. It's too convenient to be doing that. And I think only fools believe that. I don't believe that for one second. I don't believe that McCain and until I get evidence, at least, I don't believe they were executed. I'm sorry. Show me.
We don't even know that they're dead. for crying out loud. Okay, that's all I'm saying is because of the situation with the cloak and dagger, keeping their cards close to their chest, and they've always got an excuse why they're doing it. I'm saying I believe like John F. Kennedy. I believe like when Ronald Reagan said government is the problem, not the solution. I believe what Jesus Christ said when he walked this earth. You know, I don't trust people that do that. I'm sorry. I don't. For a short period of time till things got rolling, maybe. But we're already at the two-year mark. There's still innocent people dying. There's still innocent children disappearing. But we're told that there's roundups. We're told that this stuff's going on. But I don't see the evidence. That's what I'm asking for, and that's why I'm telling people, if you have evidence that what I'm saying is wrong, please, I will kiss your feet if you bring it and present it, because trust me, I would be glad to see actual evidence that somebody finally is doing some justice in this world, because in my lifetime, it hasn't happened. It's one freaking liar, cheater, rapist, murderer, scumbag, like a Lyndon Johnson and all the rest, okay? That's what I've had to live through. And I would cherish seeing somebody with some righteousness come into a position of governance. I would love to see that.
I don't think it's going to
happen. The problem is, all we have are, quote, reports that this stuff's going on. Well, I'm sorry, but that doesn't get me. That doesn't make me feel good. That doesn't create a warm and fuzzy in my body. That tells me to put the antenna up even higher, because that's the sign that I'm being played. That's the sign of, you know, it reminds me of 2009 when me and some of my family went to Washington, D.C. for the very first Tea Party rally in Washington, D.C. It was magnificent. If for no other reason than we took a bus from his home in Virginia to get downtown because they told you don't bring a car because it's going to be crowded. Well, the crowds were much bigger than anybody anticipated. And we listened to AM radio the whole morning as we watched people flooding and flooding and flooding into downtown Washington, D.C. Okay? The AM radio announcers were going 200,000, 400,000, 800,000, a million, a million two, a million four, all the way up to 2 million. And my brother and I, who is an engineer, we did the math when we got home looking at the layout of Washington, D.C. and so many square feet per individual, and it matched the AM stations that were saying approximately 2 million people were there. Okay, so we got to see how beautiful it was when 99% white, middle-class Americans descended on Washington, D.C. And what did we hear all day? The whole day we were there, I didn't hear one curse word. There wasn't one act of violence. There wasn't even any kind of disruption when there weren't anywhere near enough latrines or porta-potties for the people to use. They just stood in long lines and talked and mingled. Not one act of violence, not one outburst in anger. There wasn't one piece of trash. There's 2 million of us there. There wasn't one piece of trash other than in the receptacle that was put there. And again, they didn't put enough. And what did people do? They piled the trash next to the trash can. Not one piece of litter out of place. Again, all day long. Then the speakers finally showed up in the afternoon. And who the hell do you think the speakers were representing the leadership of the Tea Party movement? At least half of them were Jews. And I looked at my brother and I said, the Tea Party movement will go nowhere. Even though we were able to get 2 million people on their own time and their own dime to come to Washington, D.C. and protest what was going on, I said, this movement is dead. As long as there's a Jew at the top having anything to do with this, it will go nowhere. And even with a start like that, where did the Tea Party movement go? Nowhere. Nowhere. They effectively shut it down because you cannot effectively organize any kind of resistance to the New World Order and have Jews involved. Period. That's my point of view. You can't do it. That's an enemy agent in your camp.
Yeah, they don't take long to infiltrate, do they?
No. Anytime they sense a threat, they get in there immediately to implant or embed their agents either in the financial end of it or the running of it or both. Now, again, if I'm wrong, please tell me where I'm wrong. But that's how I see it. And that's the biggest danger I see to what's going on right now. There hasn't been, first of all, I said when Trump first came in, I supported him, but I said right from the get-go, if he's for real, 9/11 truth has to come out. Has 9/11 truth come out?
No.
No. I said that from the very first time. I said, I love it. I love it. I was a Trump supporter. I voted for him. I said, yay, yay, yay. However, pretty damn soon, if you're for real, then you need to come clean with the American people because they need to know the truth about 9/11. And don't hand me this bullshit that the people can't handle it. I'm sorry, but that is just total bullshit. They need to know the truth about the greatest act of internal treason in this country. And yet here we are, 2 years later, plus the campaign, and not one shred of the truth about 9/11 has yet to come out of that office. Instead, he still attends the memorials as if it was for real. Okay? That's my problem. You can't serve two masters. And even Yahshua and the prophets said, you can't put on the face of deception and claim it's for good purposes and then claim to be an honest person. You can't do that. Because the people are going to sit there going, well, how do I know you're not playing us?
Yeah.
What the people need is honesty from the get-go. Stand up and call a spade a spade. We're drowning in lies and deception and soft-soaping the hard truths because it might offend somebody. Or the Jews might say bad things in the press about you. It's killing us. Political correctness is killing us. Because everything's all about the emotions today. Everything's the emotions. Well, if it creates, if I feel threatened, then, oh, you're a bad person and you need to be abducted or beaten or put in because, you know, you hurt my feelings. That's what America is today. And it's killing us. And in Washington, I don't see much different. I really don't. There's a little bit of truth put out there to keep us played along. But when it comes to the real nuts and bolts, for instance, here in Florida, I'm getting sick and tired of hearing people talk about Parkland shooting as if it really happened. Please.
Oh, yeah.
Or Sandy Hook as if it really happened. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
That is so tiring. Yeah, I have no patience.
Why can't the truth of those things be put out there? That's my question to everybody. Why? Somebody explain it to me, because it doesn't make sense to my feeble brain. I don't understand. Why? Why do we have to perpetuate a lie when we know damn well that wasn't true?
No doubt.
And that's my problem with the current administration. They're claiming all this stuff is going on. And again, all these people that are turning on each other, they're saying, well, you know, Lisa Page, she's turned on her lover, you know, and she's singing like a canary. How do we know that?
Mm-hmm.
How do we know that? Has anybody been invited to the closed doors? No, well, no, we weren't there. Has anybody seen a transcript? Well, no, you're not allowed to see that. Everything coming out of the FBI and DOJ is redacted to where you can't make head nor tails of it. How the hell is that transparency? What happened to the declassification? We heard that for months. Declass.
The FISA.
The FISA information. Well, what happened? Why not declassify it?
Yeah, he can do that.
Again, I'm just saying, you know, I wish it weren't true. Trust me. I really do. But I've been a follower and supporter of it all along. People know that. I've always had a grain of suspicion, and I've always said, you can't take for granted that this is all good, but at least it looks good for now. There seems to be some evidence. But now I have to ask, after 2 years, why? Why have we not been told the truth about Osama bin Laden? Why haven't we been told the truth of why those SEAL Team 6 guys were murdered? Okay? Because the whole team was in one helicopter. That goes against the protocol. Okay? That's against protocol. You're not supposed to put an entire SEAL team in a singular helicopter. Okay? No suspicion? No investigation? No criminality? Who gave the order?
Yeah.
Okay? We got veterans. We got law enforcement and military dying. And some of them are dying because of these forced vaccinations. And the suicide rate has never been as high as it is right now in our military. 22 and over 22 a day. A day! For the first time in the history of this country, we got more soldiers dying by their own hand than we have in combat. And nobody's concerned. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about the effect of the drugs and the vaccines on our servicemen and women. Huh? What the hell? Why not? Why are they overseas? They shouldn't be overseas.
One of the very first things, I think it was the very first major thing Trump accomplished, was a significant increase in the military budget. It was just incredible. He campaigns on bringing troops home, endless and ending these perpetual wars in the Middle East. And the first thing he does is he massively increases the military budget. Why? I don't know.
We lost you, Henry.
Well, you didn't hear anything I said?
Well, you dropped off about 15, 20 seconds ago.
Yeah, oh, I don't know. Okay, I was just saying that it seems to me one of the very first things that Trump did after he took office was a massive increase in military spending after campaigning on withdrawing troops and ending the perpetual Middle Eastern wars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I saw a report yesterday, and you guys can tell me if it's wrong or not, but this report was claiming that we've done more bombing under 2 years with Trump than we did under Obama.
I think that's true.
Well, if that's true, again, where's the evidence of other than the rhetoric? Okay, same thing with Ronald Reagan. Okay, Ronald Reagan was known as Red Ronnie when he was in Hollywood. Okay, Red Ronnie. He was a communist. Okay,
yep.
A card-carrying communist, Red Ronnie. All of a sudden he becomes president, and he's the greatest thing conservatism to come into the White House. And yet, while he's giving all these great, wonderful speeches, telling us what we want to hear, the size of government and the government budget went up more than any other president to that time. So there's Red Ronnie talking like a conservative, getting all the Christian conservatives to sit on their ass while government grew, the budget grew. The whole time he's telling us he believes in smaller government, more efficiency, reduce the budget. Just the opposite was happening. That's my concern, Ted. You know, you're younger than I am. I've been lied to and played for a lot longer than you guys have. Well, no, not you, Henry, because you're about the same age as me. But Ted, I think you're younger than we are. So that's my suspicion. Ever since Vietnam, I've been lied to. I've been lied to from right out of high school. And now I know I was even lied to in high school. But certainly, ever since high school, it's just been one lie after the other, whether in the military or out of the military. It doesn't matter. Every person, every institution, every organization that I thought was honorable has turned out to be nothing but liars. All liars. exactly what Scripture says. Good would be called evil, evil would be called good. And just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the coming of the Son of Man. All right, what was it in the days of Noah? Noah's family were about the only ones left. Everybody else was what? Misfits, degenerates, bestiality, homosexuality, venereal disease, you name it. Any form of degeneracy you could imagine was being performed by the people around Noah. And look what we got today. That's why I pray for the Father to reveal whatever form the ark's going to take, because every believer I know wants out of this mess. If he opens the door for something that looks and performs like an ark, everybody I know is going to run for it, because I don't think these people are up to any good at all. I really don't. I think we need to huddle together in an ark, because he's going to send a fire and he's going to cleanse this earth, because it is rotten to the core. Rotten to the core. The average person doesn't give a damn about Yahweh God, doesn't give a damn about a moral code, doesn't give a damn about hurting their neighbor or lying and cheating and stealing, doesn't give a damn about anything as long as it puts money in their pocket. That is the average person today. Completely brainwashed, dumber than rocks, and they like it that way.
Yeah,
that's what I've seen. And yeah. So I'm praying for the ark. I'm praying for the ark to open up so the ones that really do care, we can run the hell in there and just hunker down and close that door and just watch as he just fries the rest of this godforsaken planet or earth and just burn up these people, because that's what they deserve. They need to be burned up. So I got on a rant, but anyway.
Dan, I love your rants. Your rants are classic. I feel like you have a gift for it, but when you speak, it's like you're extracting the words right out of my mind. And you have an extremely great way of piecing it together and outlining it. And that's why I love listening to you, because our minds are one. I can't think of almost nothing that I disagree with you on. I'm sure there's some little differences we might have. We got into a lengthy conversation, but wow, it's like we're brothers from a different mother.
Well, we are brothers from a mother.
You're right.
Her name was Sarah, and she is our common mother. So, you know, and all the verses that talk about honoring your mother and father, and talk about like the word brother in Greek is adelphos, meaning from the womb. They're talking about from Sarah's womb, a racial brother,
right.
A racial kin. Okay,
exactly.
So
back.
It's right, exactly.
I agree.
So,
Ted's still with us.
Ted, I think you're still there, aren't you, buddy? Hey, by the way, Ted, why don't you tell everybody about your YouTube channel, how they can find it?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm quietly listening, and it's a tough act. I do not want to follow Dan after one of his rants, because he pretty much lays it all out, and there's nothing more you can add to it.
I felt like that so many times. He gets me on the air with him sometimes, Ted. And he goes and he does one of these rants. Tremendous rants. And there's nothing left to be said. And I'm speechless by the end.
Right.
Like, I got nothing to add, Dan. You said it all. And you just roll. You just go from one thing to another, and it just flows like you have a gift, Dan. You have a definite gift. And you could lead hundreds of thousands, if not millions, if you had the exposure. You really could.
Well, it's all in Father's hands. I'm not going to worry about it, but I do appreciate the compliments. It means a lot to me, especially from my brothers, and knowing that you're not doing it for any gain, because I have nothing to give you. So you're not going to gain anything from throwing comments at me, compliments at me. But anyway, Ted, before we forget, tell folks about your YouTube channel and how they can get to it, what they have to search for.
Sure. The new YouTube channel, because I've had so many taken down and disabled over the years. I believe the new name of it is America Betrayed,
www.ptgolf.us. And I have a project in the works with a site with that same name, americabetrayed.us, that we may be rolling out here in the future if we get everything sorted out with WordPress. So if you do the YouTube thing and you subscribe to channels, find my channel, and I try to stay regular with it. And sooner or later, I get it's like a whack-a-mole. They find my new channel, and they ban that and terminate it. But I pop back up with the new channel and keep uploading videos and new stuff. So, americabetrayed.us.
Well, if you anytime you change, if you send me whatever your new title is, I'll put a link to it on my webpage. So if people want to go to it, I'll put it, I'll find a page on my webpage and put, you know, Ted Midward YouTube channel. Here's the latest link, because it might change from time to time. So check back. If you can't find them, come to my site and I'll put the link up there. But yeah, send it anytime you change it, send it, and I'll make sure it's up on the website.
Sure thing, sure thing. Well, hey, it's been excellent talking to you, Dan and Henry. Praise Christ, Yahweh bless you both. I'm gonna have to bow out here for the night. Dan, it's good to talk to you again, and I'll try to join back up on your next call here.
Yeah, absolutely. You're always welcome, Ted. Come on back.
All right. Have a good night, gentlemen. Take care.
Yeah, take care, and Yahweh bless. All right. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Yeah, with probably a good point to wrap up. I think we got 2.5 hours into this one. It goes by so fast, I lose track of time. But yep. Henry, do you have any closing comments?
No, I guess I'll just do what I usually do. When you ask me to do that, I'll close with a quote from my favorite forefather, Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, he's my favorite, too.
The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants.
Amen. Amen. In fact, I believe it was Thomas Jefferson that even said that a good rebellion every 20 years or so is a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
To keep the government honest. And it's also true when they said that when the people fear the government, you have tyranny. When the government fears the people, you have liberty. And we know for damn sure this government doesn't fear the people at all. Not at all.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I think that's probably really true about the 20-year thing. Think of how long it's been. That's why we're where we're at now, man. It's a sad state.
Yeah. All right, Henry.
Anyway.
I'm gonna let you go. Thanks a lot for joining in, and it was a fun chat. And Yahweh bless and keep up the good work.
You too, bud.
Take care. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Again, we got a little long winded there, but it was the leading of the Spirit, things that needed to be said, things that everybody needs to think about. These are perilous times. We were told it would be that way. There's a great deal of deception and delusion amongst our people. The one thing that Q did say that I agree with was be careful who you trust, and that includes Q. Okay? Be careful. I don't care what source you're at. Be careful. Even our Father, through the Scriptures, told us that we are to be wise and to be very prudent and to be very circumspect about any source of information. All right? Don't just accept things because of who sent it to you or because it's something you want to believe. Dig in deeper. We got into the position we're in because we've been lied to and misled for a long time. We were too easily persuaded that these were honest media and honest pastors and honest congressmen and honest professors and honest doctors. And the reality is, no, they're not. No, they're not. Founding Fathers said to watch them and watch them like a hawk. And that's exactly what we failed to do, and that's why we're in trouble. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to share with each other and to express our thoughts. No censorship here, obviously. Iron sharpens iron. We don't. It's not an echo chamber. We don't just agree with each other to get along. When we disagree, we very much will say so. But we also respect one another, and we do it in a brotherly fashion, which is the way it should be. And we thank you, Father, that this word is getting out. We have evidence of that. It is reaching many people, and it's having an impact. We can see that the truths that we've talked about now for 19 years are reaching into various circles. Many of the concepts and the truths that we've brought out on these different broadcasts are starting to show up in many, many different circles. And you told us that that would happen. If we would stand firm in the truth, you said your word would go out and not return to you void. And that's exactly what's going on. The truth is going out there because that's what we stand on, the truth, and nothing but the truth. Whether it's popular and whether it's accepted or not, we don't really care. And when people hear the truth, the Spirit testifies to the truth. So those who have the Holy Spirit have the weapon and have the tool to be able to discern truth. Those that do not have the Holy Spirit, they're crap out of luck. They're up the creek without a paddle, so to speak. So, Father, be with us. Give us good discernment. Give us a stiff backbone. Help us to remember to stand for you and for the truth at all times. And in the face of our adversaries, we ask that you would teach us the things we need to know about good health and good practices in our lives. Let us be good examples to our family and our friends around us. Be living Bibles, so to speak, to all of the people that watch and see us on a daily basis. Forgive us our shortcomings, and take us by the hand and lead us, Father. You are the only source of truth and prosperity and justice that we know of that's infallible. And as we seek you out, we pray that you would in turn remember your children and shower us with your blessings and with your protection. And we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.